the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix
and there we are, and everybody is around the table now, right here, and we are here to talk about and do things, right?
I think we are. This is the Food Critics Edition of the Walt Bodine Show. My name is Charles Ferruzza. I'm going to moderate the discussion today. Yeah.
I've known you forever.
You've known me since I was wearing braces, practically.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and much thinner. We have a special panelist today. Freelance food writer Emily Ferris is joining us this morning. Emily Ferris.
Oh, good.
Hi, Walt.
And I've known Emily for quite a while, and you were formerly the editor of a of an online magazine.
Yes.
It was called KC Free Press.
It was then struggling and now defunct, sadly, but was the lifestyle and food editor there.
Very good.
Many good things came out of it.
Very good. And we're glad to have Emily with us. Gloria Gale is here with us.
Yep. I'm here.
Really?
And
I hope.
You look alive and well and happy.
Thank you.
We are going to talk about all kinds of things in the next hour. Yep. In the second half of the show, we're going to take a theme that we've really never done before on the Food Critics edition of the Walt Bodine Show. We're going to be talking about dining in hotels. Mm-hmm. Historically, the hotel dining rooms used to be the best restaurants in town, and over, I would say, maybe the last three or four decades anyway, mm-hmm. They've become the worst often. And so we're going to talk about dining in hotels, and I know you'll all have to want to weigh in on that. It's a pretty interesting topic. Mm-hmm. And I thought right now, before we get to the half-hour mark, let's talk about new restaurants. And if you want to join this conversation, this part of the Walt Bodine Show, where you talk about places you've been that you've liked or disliked, new places or old places, you can join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can shoot us an email at waltbodineshow@kcor.org. And Gloria, where have you been?
Well, I went to the opening of Gordon Biersch in Park Place, which is a chain restaurant. And
There's
one at the Power and Light. And it is a beautiful space. And
does it look different from the Power and Light restaurant?
Yeah, it does. It does. It's tucked in between, it is now where Morton's was going to be, the Park Place, but it's not any longer going. So, and then right next door is Ross Sushi. And it's, I think it's going to be popular, to say the least. There's now like 8 to 10 restaurants on that one block in Park Place, which makes it a very crowded space. But they seem to be very popular. It's at 119th. It's about 117th and Ash, which is right across the street from Town Center. And I got to tell you, their garlic fries are to die for. They are fabulous. No, they are. And did you want to say anything about, have you eaten downtown? Have you eaten downtown?
I have. It's been a while. I was not overwhelmed by the downtown restaurant, but okay.
Yeah, but it was packed, and it's going to be, I think, draw a crowd.
Did you have beer? That's
no.
What they're known for.
Yeah, they were doing, this was a soft opening, so they were doing all kinds of wonderful drinks and beers and everything, but I didn't have any.
And I think they have a pretty decent happy hour.
Oh, I think they have a famous one.
Right. And then I also went to, this isn't new by any stretch, but it was really good, and we haven't talked about it in a long time, Osterio El Centro? Yeah. Is that how you pronounce it?
Si.
Centro.
Yeah, 51st and Main.
Yeah, 51st and Main. Is it 51st, 55th? 51st.
No, 51st, yeah.
Yeah, it was delicious. And I went before the rep. I went to see a performance of the rep that evening, and it was, I think everybody that was at the restaurant went over to the show afterwards, but it was great.
It's a charming neighborhood restaurant.
It is charming, and we don't, I think it's sometimes overlooked, maybe not. It was packed by the time I left, it was packed, so that was good.
It was a fun place.
And I just have a comment. A10 Chop House is coming out to Park Place also. They're expanding by leaps and bounds.
Now, that's another expensive steakhouse, and there's one in Power and Light District, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Have you eaten there?
No. No.
Okay.
And I don't think that one's open yet.
Well, Park Place just seems to be the place.
The place.
Emily, have you been to Park Place lately?
I have not.
Where have you been?
I recently went to Chai Chai.
Okay. That's in my neighborhood.
It.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's at 651 East 59th Street at Holmes. Mm-hmm. And it's in an adorable little strip mall. Does that mall have a name, Charles? Do you know?
Yes. I think it's called Morningside Place.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard to call it a strip mall because it's quaint.
Well, it's
and
a 1920s version of a strip mall.
It's adorable. It's adorable. And it's on the corner, so they have a nice little patio outside. It's Chai Chai, and Chai Chai apparently refers to the service that goes along with chai. So you order chai, and then the service that goes along with it, sort of little treats. So samosas and little snacky foods. So it's not a big Indian dinner. You're not going to get tikka masala, and though they do specials.
They do have
on
dinners, yeah.
They have dinners, but it's not a big.
No.
You're not going to go and eat a big heavy Indian dinner. So I went for lunch and got the samosas. And,
they're delicious.
They're amazing. And you know, when I went up to order them.
Because you order at a counter.
Yes, you order at the counter, and I was with my boyfriend's mother, who apparently goes all the time and just raves.
She lives there. I've seen her there many times.
She raves about the samosas, and so I said, oh, okay, we'll go. And I love Indian food. And when I ordered, the guy said, okay, this is going to be the best samosa you've ever had in your life. And I said, well, that's a bold claim, sir. I have eaten at every Indian restaurant on 6th Street in Little India in New York, and that's okay, we'll see. And so I took a bite, and I said, this is the best samosa I have
ever had
in my life.
They're very flaky, very nice.
Are they pretty big? Like
yeah.
Big Hershey's
yeah, they're,
kisses?
Yeah, they're decent size. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, very rarely do I get those little dinky samosas.
Well, they taste fresh. They don't taste like they've just been, you know, put in the oven and heated up.
And they're perfectly spiced. I had the vegetable and the chicken, and they were both just amazing.
And the vegetable, is that potato?
Potato and
peas. Yeah.
That's usually what goes in a vegetable sauce.
But they were beautifully seasoned.
Beautifully seasoned and light and flaky, and the sauces were amazing. They were, I think they call them both chutneys. They were both more just like a sauce.
Right.
But they were, it was just perfect. And I had a chai with it, an iced chai, and they don't sweeten their chai.
Right.
They ask you if you want it to be sweetened, which I really appreciate because I don't like sweet drinks.
Right.
And so I got a big iced chai, and it was nice and spicy.
And it's cozy in there. It's a sweet little urban restaurant.
It's cozy, and you know it's a little urban restaurant because you walk in and they have an iPad up there.
Right.
And if you want to flip through their menu on the iPad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they have a nice patio outside, and it's perfect patio weather right now. And it overlooks an empty lot, which it's nice. It's like
this neighborhood.
See the little houses, and I was sort of imagining a little urban farm on that corner.
Well, cool. I think, you know what? It's there for you to start it, Emily. And that is, we should say, Chai Chai is at 59th and Holmes, and it's family-owned. I believe the mother is the cook, and it's run by the two brothers. So where else have you been? I see a big menu there.
This menu is for the farmhouse, but it's not their regular menu. On Tuesday night, I was very lucky to attend their farm dinner. Mm-hmm. So they do these farm dinners once a month where they bring in one of the farmers that they partner with, and they build the menu around whatever they get from this farmer. And so this was Woodmood Farm. And
where's that located?
They are in... Oh, I should remember that. I want to say Harrisonville, Higginsville.
Something with an H.
Something with an H, not too far from Warrensburg. And the family was there, so the farmers were there. And they featured a lot of their potatoes and their greens. And it was a delicious meal. It was six courses.
Wow.
Was it expensive?
It was not too, you know, it was six courses, and there was a wine pairing with each. And it was $65.
That's okay.
We got there and we sat at the bar and we sort of got a little head start on the wine pairings. And
that's once a month.
Emily, if people want to find out about these farm dinners, does Farmhouse have a website?
It is eatatthefarmhouse.com.
All one word, eatatthefarmhouse.com.
And they also post them, I think they post them more frequently actually on their Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And they update pretty frequently.
Unlike a lot of restaurants.
If you can get past the occasional... typos that come up there. They post all of these things frequently.
We might tell our listeners where the farmhouse is.
The farmhouse is at 300 Delaware Street. That's down in the River Market. So it's at 3rd and Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they also have a nice little patio.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell I like patios? It was a fantastic dinner. There was a soup course. The second course was aged beef tartare. It was on sweet potato chips.
Wow.
And it had a fried quail egg on it. And when the chef brought it out, he joked, it's sort of like nachos. Yeah. It sort of was like, I wasn't quite sure how to eat it. I used my hands. I used my fork.
Was it good?
It was so good.
And the chef there is Michael Faust?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. I want to remind our listeners that this is the Walt Bodine Show, the Restaurant Critics Edition. We are here with Emily Ferris. I almost called you Emily Dickinson. Emily Dickinson Ferris, Gloria Gale, and myself, Charles Ferrizzo. We would enjoy if you would give us a call at 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888, or you can shoot us an email at walbodineshow@kcr.org and tell us where you've been, what you've liked, what you've enjoyed. And the second part of the show, we're going to be talking about dining in hotels, which used to be a very glamorous event. And we might make a reference to the legendary Hotel Ormond, now long torn down, but that's where Walt Bodine started his career, at the Hotel Ormond. Not as a radio announcer, but as a soda jerk. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk about other things.
Well, you and I saw each other. It was the perfect storm at Urban Table.
We saw each other last Sunday at Urban Table.
Right.
I was having breakfast there.
Uh-huh, I was having lunch.
You know, it is no secret to you all and to listeners of the Walt Bodine Show that I am not a huge fan of any restaurant where you have to order at a counter. I have some weird resistance to it. And I think it was because I was a waiter for so many years. Uh-huh. And I don't understand why. They have servers who bring out the food, who kind of fuss over you and uh-huh. are pretty attentive. Uh-huh. Why don't they just have full service? What do you think?
I just think it's the nature of it.
Really?
The way it is. Yeah, it's fast-paced. It's loud.
Now, they do have full service at dinner.
They do. Yeah. They do. They have just switched it up.
You've had
eaten there. I have. I've had takeout from there, and I was there for breakfast
earlier
this week.
Oh, you have had takeout? Do you have to wait very long?
I wasn't the one who picked up the takeout.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I like ordering at the counter for breakfast and lunch. I don't mind. Uh-huh. For dinner, I don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
But obviously, they followed your lead there.
Uh-huh.
I just don't like it at all, but I think it was because I was a waiter for too many years, and when I go to a restaurant, I want to be sit down and served. I don't know if it's a... an issue.
What do you think about the communal table aspect of that restaurant?
Well, if I'm right with the right communal people, it could be okay, but it could also be terrifying. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, interestingly,
I don't
enough,
like to eat with strangers. I'm weird that way. Okay?
Well, that's an interesting point. But almost all the times I've been there, and I've been there a lot, I've sat at a communal table, and it's interesting because you end up asking, even though it's communal, you say, "May I sit here?" Which is just ridiculous. Of course, you can sit there. But I asked the waitress about it one time, and she said, "You know, some people just shrink and they go, I don't want to sit by anybody." But then others just go, they welcome, you know, and then you just get into the mix.
Now, when I saw you on Sunday, you were not sitting at the communal table. Otherwise, I would have sat right next to you. But you were not.
Well, no.
You were
at
one of those high-top tables.
Yeah, a high-top table. Actually, it is communal. It is on the other side of it. It is.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
It is. So I don't mind, really.
I don't know what our listeners think about communal tables, but I'd love to know at 816-235-2888. Kim Noble from KCUR recently went to a restaurant that we learned about last time on the Walt Bodine Show, a place in, I think it's Lenexa on 87th Street. Maybe it's Overland Park. Maybe the ABC Chinese restaurant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm still eager to hear from people about that. Kim, you liked it, didn't you?
Yeah, she did. I loved it.
And
I loved it. And having spent so much time in London and growing up in Hong Kong, I have been yearning for real Chinese food.
Do you remember the exact address by any chance?
No, but I went with Andrea Salenzi, our esteemed producer, and she might know it.
I think she's going to look it up. Now, if I remember, doesn't it serve quite late?
Yes.
Yeah. That was interesting to me. Yeah.
Two in the morning.
That would almost be breakfast for me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Have you heard about ABC Chinese?
I have heard about it on this show, in fact.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, has anyone had the authentic Chinese menu at New Peking in Westport?
No.
No.
I have
not. Is that a recent addition?
I don't think so. I think this is the most unassuming Chinese restaurant in Kansas City. I went in there maybe a year or two ago, expecting to get strip mall Chinese food. I wasn't expecting much.
Chinese-American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I and I walked in, and they have this huge dining room, full service, really nice. I haven't ventured to the authentic Chinese menu yet, but all of their Americanized dishes are amazing. Mm. And they have great lunch specials, and it's great. I get the General Tso's chicken, the most fattening, delicious, deep-fried Chinese-American dish. But yeah, they have an authentic Chinese menu that's supposed to be amazing. It's in the strip mall on Mill Street over by Sunfresh in Westport.
It's been there for 10 million years.
And you wouldn't expect it to be this nice, big Chinese restaurant with multiple dining rooms and areas. And it's fantastic. Their American Chinese food is fantastic, and I've heard wonderful things about their authentic Chinese
menu. Well, we'll, I'm sure, learn more about that. I just want to remind you that you are listening to The Walpole Dean Show, the Restaurant Critics Edition, on KCOR. You're joined today by our special guest panelists, Emily Ferris, Miss Gloria Gale, and myself. And Walpole Dean is here. And we are going to start taking phone calls right now, if that's okay with you, Walt.
Sure.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Kansas City.
I think so.
Hi, everybody. I had lunch at a great place yesterday, and I wanted to tell people about the 1911 Main, the old bar Natasha. It's back in business. And the chef, I mean, the guy who's cooking is, I think, a lovely job. They have like a $4.99 soup and salad lunch special. More to the point, it's a jazz room, pretty, pretty jazz room now. And on Fridays, I work with this show, the KCOR show, 12th Street Jump. Yeah. On Fridays, they rehearse it there. So it's like there's a $4.99 jazz lunch. I mean, free music.
That's
And they have the soup and sandwich special. And it's pretty good. I mean, the guy makes the soup from scratch.
He's a very talented chef. He and I, our paths have crossed many times over the years. And I wrote about him on our Pitch Food blog, which is called Fat City. And I wish I could remember his name. I will in a second. But
he's a character.
Yeah.
He makes a catfish po' boy that I thought, you know, are you kidding? For $4.99, I'm getting this?
And it was good.
It blew my mind. And they come with a pasta salad, a potato salad. He does a nice, he does an interesting thing with fried chicken on kind of a long plate. It's really pretty good. And as I said, it's a pretty room. And I miss you down here, but it's a pretty room. And there's jazz. I think they have jazz 5 nights a week. And Saturday nights at midnight, they have the 12th Street Jump, which, of course, is broadcast live on KCR. But what's sort of interesting, Friday, the show is rehearsed. You know, they actually do a dress rehearsal, and it's in the room, and it's at lunchtime.
So, are you there, Mark, for the rehearsals?
I'm down there, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I'll be down there for the rehearsal today, yeah. But it's a kind of a neat idea. And it's a pretty room. They've got art on the walls now. So, but I was surprised about the food. It really is good.
Hey, that's
and also,
great. That's
a- Huh?
That's a good recommendation.
Yeah,
and it's also they will serve food till 1 o'clock in the morning on the Saturday nights we play. I know
that's great, and they have a good menu. That's great. That was Mark telling us about 1911 Main, which interestingly enough is at 1911 Main. Teresa.
Hi, Charles. How are you?
Hi, Teresa.
I have been carrying around in my car a little snippet from the pitch about two restaurants, and I think you guys have probably been there, but I haven't. Want to hear. The first one is Nika's 320, and the other is Chez L. I wondered what you guys thought of those.
Well, I've been to Chez L, and it's great.
Yeah, it's a little crêperie.
Yeah, it's a crêperie.
It's in the old Summit Theater.
Right, right. And a parking right out in front, which is always a bonus.
I just had a crêpe from there this week, and it was very, very good.
Was it savory or sweet?
I had one of each. No, I had a savory crepe. I take that back.
Good.
I'm trying to stay away from the sweet crepes.
Coffee's great.
It's a sweet little place.
Yeah, it is. Smoothies there, too.
Do they really? Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And I have eaten two meals at Nika's 320. It's in the space, I think, 320 Southwest Boulevard that used to be Shiraz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
And it's an interesting menu. There's a lot of... there's a lot of work involved in the menu because there's a lot of mix and match stuff.
Right.
And you know, Teresa, that I'm easily confused and anything that's that much work. I just really want restaurateurs to tell me what to eat and then I'll
Do you have to go up to the counter?
No.
There's no communal table. Well, what kind of food is it? It says where tradition meets fusion, and I don't know what that means.
That means you can get an Italian meatball sandwich or a Thai chicken or, you know, there's a little something for everybody.
And do they do it all well?
I haven't had everything yet, but the things I've had, I've liked.
I had it when it was out south.
Where was it out south?
It was like 143rd Old Metcalf in a strip mall.
Okay.
And it was little, and it was like overwhelming. And then you did have to go up and find – you had to order from the
counter.
The counter, and it was like, you know, too much.
To order by cuisine, or
you can mix and match.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can have a side of Chinese with.
But do they have separate? Do they have a Chinese menu?
No. It's the menu is very actually well explanatory. Their house specialty seems to be the macaroni and cheese, which you can dress up or dress down in any possible manner. And I will say this, that I learned a very valuable lesson last
night. What was that?
I will never order macaroni and cheese with candied jalapenos ever again. But I don't know what possessed the waiter to suggest that. I don't know what possessed me to agree to it.
Yeah.
But Teresa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's go to Pam in Midtown.
Pam? No, Pam.
Pam. I think Pam abandoned. The funny thing is,
she said Nika.
No, she was going to discuss communal tables. I would have actually enjoyed listening to that, but she obviously abandoned us for a communal table.
Well.
Our producer Andrea Salenzi sent me the address via email here for the ABC Cafe, and that is at, I got to write this down myself, 1001 West 87th Street. I'm still trying to figure out where exactly on 87th Street that would be. But
it's probably around the library.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah, in that neck of the woods.
All right, and we are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888.
I'm sorry. Just to tell you, are you going to go to a...
Yeah, let me take a quick phone call. Pam, have you returned?
Yes, I have. I'm sorry. The call dropped.
Were you at the communal table?
Yes. Well, you asked. You wanted to know. And our experience has been, our initial experience has been at Gojo's. And my partner is very shy and wasn't really keen on the whole idea of a communal table. I'm very outgoing and will talk to anyone. And as we started going there, she's really opened up and talks more to other people at the communal tables than I do. But we found that we've made a lot of, not friends, but acquaintances that we see over and over again at the same place.
Huh.
So our experience has been really, really pretty good. The other place that we always end up at a communal table is Einstein Brothers. And because the little ones are always filled and we end up sitting with other people. So I don't know. I like it. I wouldn't like it all the time.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be talking about intimate things or discussing your divorce or finances. Yeah. you better like communal dining if you go to a Chinese steakhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, Japanese steakhouse,
excuse me,
because that is the way it is.
Right.
So I remember taking my, at that point, and thank you, Pam. I think she was a 7 or 8 year old goddaughter, and we were sitting at one of the teppanyaki tables at a Japanese steakhouse, and my little goddaughter turned around and she goes, "Who are these people?"
That's great.
So,
it's definitely whether you can.
Now there is kind of a fun communal table at Anna's Oven on 39th Street,
right.
And I actually have sat with some interesting people there.
Good.
None of whom I would like to see again, but they were interesting at the time.
Well, it's interesting because when you sit at a bar, it's the same kind of thing.
The bar is the ultimate communal table.
It absolutely is.
There was a communal table at the farmhouse farm dinner. They put the farmers and everyone together, and there were employees there, and the farmers and the farmers' kids and grandkids, and it was really
so
nice.
Fun.
And I feel like I made some friends that night. So.
Cool. Oh,
well,
that's neat.
In the second half of the show, which is coming up because we're going to be taking a break soon, we'll be talking about hotel dining.
All right.
Yeah, think about that.
And so, where do we go?
We are going to check into the hotel dining scene. It's an interesting topic because, as I said at the top of the hour, hotel dining rooms used to be the best restaurants in town, and that has certainly changed over the last at least 3 decades that I remember. But we want your opinions on hotel dining rooms.
Yeah.
And let me remind you that this is the Walt Bodine Show. My name is Charles Ferruza. I'm here with Gloria Gale from 435 South Magazine and freelance food writer Emily Ferris. And, of course, the legendary Walt Bodine, who literally grew up in a hotel. The Bodine Drugstore was on the ground floor of the old Hotel Ormond at the corner of Linwood and Troost. It's where the, well, the building that was a Katz Drugstore is still there.
Oh, wow.
That's where it was.
I can see that.
And, Walt, I believe that the drugstore had a soda fountain and a food counter or, a counter where you can get food. But there was also a dining room in there, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I could tell you more, but I won't.
Anyway, we wanted you to tell us more by giving us a call at 816-235-2888. I'm sure you all have stories about hotel restaurants that you love or hate. Mm-hmm. And, I suppose falling into this category, although it's in a building that is not a hotel anymore and hasn't been for a long time, would be the Rieger Hotel Grill and Exchange.
Exactly.
But to get back to our previous 30 minutes on the Walt Bodine Show. We have a couple of emails, and they sent us these emails via waltbodineshow@kcur.org. Ray writes to tell us about the ABC Chinese Cafe on 10001 West 87th uh-huh. Street. She said, I'm married to a Chinese gentleman and have eaten frequently at both of these restaurants. She was also making a reference to Emily's comment about the New Peking. Both are good, and the menu's quite authentic, although the styles of cuisine are different. ABC is more Southern Chinese / Hong Kong style, while the New Peking's Chinese menu is more mainland. Most of the time, my father-in-law orders off the menu, which both places have accommodated. I prefer the atmosphere and service at ABC over New Peking, and you tend to find Chinese dining more Chinese dining at ABC than New Peking. That's very good. Okay. Clark and Jeff wrote to tell us about a restaurant that I've heard a lot about. I'm eager to kind of go. They only serve food once a week because it's actually a home delivery system called Conveniently Natural.
Yes.
It's off of the Southwest Trafficway. Mm-hmm. On Thursdays, they serve an all-you-could-eat lunch buffet, and it's vegetarian vegan offerings. Mm. I'd like to try that.
Yeah, I think we talked about that.
And Andrea reminded us that a different Katz drugstore, the one on Main Street and I think about 40th, the big, beautiful 1930s Katz drugstore has been purchased by the New Redeemer Church.
Oh, so, amen.
I know.
Okay. I've heard rumors that the building might be going down, sadly.
Oh, surely not.
I hope not.
Yeah.
That's a different show.
We'll save that one for Monroe Dodd. We are taking your phone calls again at 816-235-2888. And one of the restaurants that we might talk about in our hotel tour is, and it's not really a restaurant. It's really a bar that just happens to serve food, but it's in the Hotel Phillips. And Justin, you wanted to talk about the chef at the Hotel Phillips?
Yeah, so I am the chef at the Hotel Phillips.
Oh, Justin. And what is your last name, Justin?
Voldan. V as in Victor, O-L-D-A-N.
And I've eaten at 12 Baltimore, and isn't it really more of a bar that serves food than a traditional restaurant?
I would say so. For lunchtime, I mean, we're basically sandwiches, really fast-paced. For dinnertime, I'd say it's a bar that serves good food.
Do you have tablecloths on the tables at night?
Oh, no, we do not.
Okay, so it's pretty casual.
Yeah, it's very casual. I mean, we have 7-8 boulevards on tap. We partner with them throughout the year. They give us all sorts of their new series comes out. But I've only been here about a month. I'm actually a transplant from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You might hear my accent. They say I talk funny, but I don't hear it.
Have you introduced a new menu yet, Justin?
Not yet, but I am slowly working on it.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. Well, we'll all come and see you with Walt.
Oh, I'd be happy to see you. It's a little short notice here, but we're busy for the weekend here, having a lot of groups. We're undergoing a renovation in the hotel.
Great.
It's going to be actually really awesome. I've seen some of the plans. We're almost finished sometime in November.
Now, Justin, you probably don't know this, but the original restaurant in the hotel, the downstairs restaurant, was originally for most of the 1980s, was the Walt Bodine Steakhouse.
I was not aware of that.
Yes. And I think a plaque needs to go up at least.
And a steak named after Walt.
Yeah, you need to create a steak named after Walt.
Yes, we did used to have a chop house in the building.
Right.
And that's where I have a strong steakhouse background from where I'm from. We have chop houses all over the, mostly in Wisconsin, Minnesota. We did have one here, but no longer. We're just focusing on 12B here.
Hey, well, good luck. Thanks, Justin.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And that was Justin Voldan from the Phillips Hotel. And let's go to John in Plattsburgh.
How you doing?
Hey, John. What's up?
Well, I'm calling about the Hyatt. It used to be the Hyatt in the Plaza, and Mr. Lim used to be the head chef. And we used to get the great, best hurricanes in town, by the way. But they'd have a pressed duck dinner, and then they also had a champagne or pineapple chicken that they'd cut out the inside of a pineapple.
Wait. Are you sure this was the Hyatt, or was this the old Plaza Hilton?
Oh, you're right. It was the Hilton.
Yeah, you're talking about the Kona Kai room. Right. Was that it? Yeah.
And Mr. Lim went out to the airport at the Kona Kai out there. But, that was a number of years ago. I was kind of wondering if anybody can tell me about the Kona Kai at the Hilton at the airport now, because that's where Mr. Lim was. And, of course, he was a senior at the time.
Right. Well, you know what? We'll put that question out for our listeners, John, and we'll find out. I didn't even know there was a Kona Kai restaurant still. I remember the one at the Plaza Hilton very well. Let's just say that the food was unusual. Let's go to Robert in Lee Summit. Robert.
Hey, am I here?
Yeah, you're on the air with us.
All right. I'm actually just going to mention another Chinese restaurant. It's called Sichuan Dynasty.
And where is Sichuan Dynasty?
Gosh, I get there by GPS every time. I believe it's in Overland Park on like Strange Road. It looks like Strange, but without knees.
Oh, Strang. It's Strang. Yeah, okay.
Strang, yeah, okay. It's in a plaza. Uh-huh. Over there, and it's once again a different style of Chinese food. Like that one email was talking, Sichuan food is like the spicy Chinese food,
right?
And the chef there is from Sichuan, and so is the management. And it's like the only place I can find Sichuan food in the Kansas City area, because I've lived in China and I just like crave it sometimes, and that's the only place I can go.
Interesting. Huh. Okay. Well, that's an interesting. I would think that there are many restaurants in Kansas City that serve Sichuan food. Right. Let's go to Louise in Leawood.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air with us.
Okay. I was calling about the Chaz restaurant at the Raphael Hotel on the Plaza.
Chaz on the Plaza? In fact, I think, is that my review this week?
Yeah.
I think I reviewed that for the pitch this week. Yeah. And,
you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've got a.
You know all about it.
Well, I think you probably know as much as I do. Did you enjoy the food there?
I enjoyed the food. We got the special, which was, I think, for $36, you got a glass of wine and an entree and a salad or soup and dessert.
That's a good deal.
And the entree came with, potatoes and vegetable. And they have live music, and it's very elegant and cozy, and it's just a wonderful place to go and take gifts.
Well, they've got a wonderful new chef whose name is Charles, but he is not the namesake of the restaurant, although I think people are going to get confused. Maybe you should be. Emily Ferris does not like the name of that restaurant.
I worked there. I was a cocktail waitress there when I was at the when I said
and the cutest cocktail waitress they ever had, I might add.
Even though I wore orthopedic shoes.
And they also have valet parking there, which is handy.
Yeah, free valet parking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No disrespect to either Charles. I feel like they could maybe draw a different crowd with a hipper name, because
that was a hip name. I think that's the irony.
I cannot say the name of that restaurant without saying Charles on the Plaza.
Well, maybe you know what though? It's a memorable name, and you've made it even more memorable
Charles
by doing that.
Charles on the Plaza.
It was the Raphael restaurant for years and years and years, and it needed some kind of name. And I don't know what the name maybe should have been. Maybe they should have called it Gloria Gale on
there
the Plaza.
You go. No.
Well, it's a beautiful interior, and the food is great, and the people who work there are nice. And
I think I'll tell you, the new chef Charles DeBlanc has really, really upped the game of the food there. Mm-hmm. It is a really great, great restaurant, and a really nice place for a special occasion.
And now, talk about the one across the street, the Intercontinental.
You know, is that still called the Oak Room? I believe it is.
I think so.
I haven't
eaten. It was at least a year ago.
Yeah, I haven't eaten there in a while.
I haven't either, but I didn't like the decor when they had the farm implements.
I think they have
the
taken the gilded farm implements off the wall. Let's go to Chris in Lenexa. Chris?
Hi. Yes, I wanted to say that, I'm in my early 40s, and the only time I've ever been to a hotel restaurant when I haven't been traveling was I worked for a company, and the owner of the company was from out of town, and he was an Orthodox Jew. And 10, 12 years ago, if you needed a kosher restaurant, the only option you had in Kansas City was about three or four hotels, and that was it.
Well, interesting.
I can't address that.
That is a whole different show. But thank you, Chris. That's an interesting subject for us to do sometime. Can one get kosher food in Kansas City?
Well, you can, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that sometime. Let's go to Mary in Overland Park. And you have a comment about Chaz on the Plaza. Chaz on the Plaza. Mary?
No Mary. Oh, well.
Wait a minute. She's here.
She
went to check into a hotel. We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. We're talking this half hour on The Walpole Dean Show about dining in hotels. And let's talk about some of our favorite places. I love, and Emily was just there, I love the Peppercorn Duck Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Emily and Walt and Gloria mm-hmm. a few minutes ago that when I moved to Kansas City in the 1980s, it was really considered one of the top five restaurants in Kansas City. And it's really, unfortunately, lost some cachet over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But the food was always spectacular. And you just met the new chef, right?
Yeah, we went a few months ago, and the food was amazing. And he had fresh heirloom tomatoes that he had bought at the River Market that morning. Mm-hmm. And just everything was spectacular from start to finish.
Except one thing, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will. We had a foie gras mousse with pickled grapes and arugula with truffle oil on toast points. And I think it was one of the best single bites of food I have ever had.
Wow.
And we went, you know, it was sort of jokey because it's sort of dated and the decor is sort of dated and you think of
not
it as a place.
Sort of dated. It's very dated.
Okay, it's very dated. I was trying to be
which is
diplomatic.
Actually, you know, I think now at this point they should not change the decor because I think it is so
it's
dated it's going to come back again.
Right. They just have to sort of have a sense of humor about it and come back with it. And but I know the menu was just amazing. We actually went with a Living Social coupon and we wouldn't have made reservations for Peppercorn Duck Club otherwise.
So those coupons would have power. They do bring people in.
I say tonight we're going to Michael Smith, and I say I'm graduating from the extra virgin crowd to the Michael Smith crowd because of a Groupon. They've allowed me to do that. But it was the food from start to almost finish was amazing. The world famous chocolate bar. Left much to be desired.
You know, that is so sad because, in a different time and place, the Ultra Chocolata Bar was considered, fabulous. And that's, in those days, the Hyatt had legendary pastry chefs and there were wonderful chocolate desserts. But I agree, the last time I was there, it was sort of forlorn.
You know, it's possible that now as Kansas Citians, we are spoiled with delicious chocolate, and maybe the chocolate bar is the same, and our tastes have improved.
No, the chocolate bar is very different from when I first went there. But I want to remind you, we would love for you to join this conversation about hotel dining at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. I think everyone in Kansas City has their favorite place to go and dine in a hotel, whether it be a building that's no longer a hotel, like the Rieger Hotel Grill and Exchange, or the Peppercorn Duck Club, or I think the last remaining, were two at one point, last remaining revolving dining room in Kansas City, Skies at the top of the Hyatt, which, I love going there. Let's go to Darren in Kansas City.
Charles Feruza, Darren Mark.
Hey, Darren, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Hey, did you guys know that 12 Baltimore just got a brand new chef?
In fact, we just spoke to him on the air, Darren.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm late to the party again.
You're a day late and several dollars short. But he sounds charming and the food sounds great.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, Hotel Phillips is one of the city's best hotels. And I think there's something really kind of romantic and elegant about dining out at a hotel in your own city. And so I'm always excited to find out that there's new menus on the horizon at great places. And I know that you guys are talking about Chaz. I love Charles over there, and he did such a great job at the Webster House for years. When I found out that he was moving over to Chaz, I was instantly excited, and he in 1 week took that restaurant up like 20 notches.
Well, what we asked
Justin
from Hotel Phillips, thank you, Emily, if he would return the old Walpo Dean Steakhouse back to its former glory, which I think that room is just sitting empty now.
Yeah,
it is.
I was actually chatting with them recently about that steakhouse because it is a cool space, and I don't think that there's any intent to reopen that at least anytime soon. So that's too bad.
Well, if I bet if you suggest maybe calling it the Darren Mark Steakhouse, there might be a lot more interest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would really be an advisable idea. I think that people would come to it in droves. We'd have a kosher kitchen. I mean, it would be great.
Hey, thank you, Darren. Those are all great, great points. Let's go to Steve in Lawrence.
Hello.
Hey, Steve, you're on the air with us?
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for taking my call. Years ago, I used to go up to Benton's Steakhouse, their Sunday brunch, and I have real fond memories of that. And planning a vacation for the Christmas holiday to stay in downtown. Has anybody been to Benton's lately? Is it still what it used to be?
I went to a – they did a big reopen about a year ago, and I went to the sort of event that they had to reopen, and it was amazing. They were really focusing on their meats, and the chef came out and talked about the aged meats and just how they select their steaks and why they select their steaks, and – everything we had there was amazing.
If nothing else, go for the view.
Yeah, I know, the view is spectacular.
The view is just incredible.
It doesn't spin, but who wants to spin when you're
You
could.
You know, I'll tell you something.
Have a few drinks.
If you ever go there when there is a rainstorm coming in, it is a fabulous visual. But I will say this. It's been maybe a year or so since I had the Sunday brunch there, but I always maintain it's the most expensive but the nicest Sunday brunch in the city. It's really beautifully designed and good food.
I have
fond
memories of it.
Yeah, it's
extremely fond memories. Uh-huh. And I missed out. Where is the Peppercorn Duck Club again? I was there years ago.
At the Hyatt Regency on the, I believe, second floor.
Crown Center.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all right there?
It's all right there.
It's all right there.
With the Blue Man Group and staycation.
Yeah, there you go.
Have a fabulous time, Steve. We look forward to seeing you in Kansas City. Marissa in Kansas City.
Hi. I was calling about Chad's also. My husband and I go there quite a lot, and we're in our mid-20s. So I don't think it's an entirely stuffy place, but I wanted to comment on two things. One, a year ago, we mostly go there for drinks and to listen to this Beatles cover band that they have.
Oh, they're fantastic. The Clover Club, I think, is what they're called?
Cavern Club.
Cavern Club. They're so much fun.
They're great. They're a ton of fun. But in the last year, I ordered dinner once a year ago, was like, I don't think I want to eat here again. Let's just go back for drinks. But now, last weekend, I had their new truffle macaroni and cheese to die for, and my husband had some scallops that he thought were just the best ever.
Well, that's because there's a new chef since you were, there the first time.
Right, that's what I heard you say that, and I just wanted to give my kudos to that person.
Great.
Marissa, the next time you go back, they're getting ready to introduce a new menu, and they've got a young woman making their desserts, and she let me taste one of the desserts that's going to be on the new menu. It was a maple creme brulee with toasted hazelnuts and I think dried cranberries. It was a beautiful fall dessert.
Uh-huh. Sounds like it.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Marissa, thank you so much for that comment.
Thank you.
And let's go to Marcia in Brookside.
Marcia. That's me.
Hi, Marcia.
How are you?
Good.
I was going to mention the Savoy.
Yeah, that was on my list.
Yes, it's the oldest hotel dining room in the city.
Yeah, I think
I would think so.
And and probably, I would say, the most beautiful.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's like old Kansas City. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You have to be judicious about the menu, though.
Uh-huh, you do. But the waiters, it's just an old, it's good.
It is the classic Kansas City hotel dining room, and thank goodness we still have it. I would be bereft if it ever went away. Right. Do you like it, Emily?
I'm waiting for the Groupon.
I'll take you. You don't have to wait. What is your favorite thing to eat at the Savoy, Marcia?
Lobster.
Yep. I'd say that's their number one dish. Yeah.
With crackers.
Yeah. And I love those little cinnamon rolls. Once I ate too many of them and I couldn't eat dinner. But Marcia, thank you so much. Yeah. Let's go to Judy in Kansas City. Judy?
Oh, Judy.
Yes, Judy.
I'm working. I just wanted to talk about the Drum Room in the Hilton President, also an older hotel. What's unique about the Drum Room is it's really not a part of the hotel, so people who don't like hotel restaurants can not be afraid to eat there.
Well, I don't know how – I mean, it's very much part of the hotel. I mean, it's in the hotel, and we should say that it's the Hotel President.
Right, the Hilton President. But it's got a separate entrance.
Right, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And so it, they try to make it so it's really its own restaurant. It has a fabulous bar with all kinds of goofy drinks, great martinis. But they've changed the decor. They've made it much more entertainment friendly. I don't know how many of you are familiar with when they used to have the old serpentine thing in there. They took it out, so there's great sight to the stage. Mm-hmm. They've moved the Rat Pack to the back. They changed their menus. It's really, and the food is fabulous.
Yeah, they've got a wonderful chef, Eric Carter, and
Eric
Carter. He does a good job.
He does.
You know, and you know who was one of the big acts in the 1940s in the Drum Room? The legendary Marilyn May. She met her first or second husband there. I can't remember which one.
Oh, now I didn't know that because I've heard, you know, about Frank Sinatra, and I've heard about the woman who died.
Oh, her, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember her, but I didn't know Marilyn May was there.
Oh, yeah. She's got some great stories about it.
Time, of course. But it's really very much worth a try. Eric does a great job of doing the local thing and changing up the menu for the seasons. And for people who haven't been there in a while, I think they'd be very surprised to see how much it's changed. But it's still got that whole historic feel. The Rat Pack is still, the booth is still there, but they've moved it.
Well, I think that's great. And we're coming to the top of the hour, so let's just take a few more phone calls. Tandy in Shawnee. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Go ahead, Tandy.
Hi.
All right. You had a question for us or a comment?
I had a comment. I've eaten at the Peppercorn Duck Club and Skies in the last month, and I'm a vegetarian, and I had a great experience at Skies and a horrible experience at Peppercorn Duck Club.
Hmm. Now, that's funny because I ate there about a year ago, and I took two vegetarian friends with me, and they had an extremely positive experience.
Oh.
So did they not have a vegetarian entree on the menu?
They don't, but that's okay. I called ahead, talked to someone who said they talked to the chef, and they would work with me. And they came out and talked to me, and they made me a cheese and tomato flatbread pizza that was nothing special, and they charged me almost $40 for it.
Wow.
I would have an issue with that.
I hope you ate your $40 in mediocre chocolate afterwards.
Yes, I did. And I was really looking forward to the chocolate, and that wasn't good either. So it was just a big disappointment.
Tandy, we're going to have to do something about the old Peppercorn Duck Club in terms of...
Now, ramp it up.
Yeah, they need a vegetarian dish on the menu.
Absolutely.
They should, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, thank you. Mm-hmm. See, we've got to stay true to our vegetarian friends.
That's
here.
That's right.
Janice in Leawood.
Hi.
You were just at the Peppercorn Duck Club, too, weren't you?
No. Here's the deal. We moved here in 81.
All right.
Every year, we would spend our anniversary there for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it was fabulous. And it was like the only restaurant where a man needs to wear a jacket.
Right.
And, well, that's over with. But it started going downhill, so... Several years ago, we stopped going there for our anniversary, so we do things in the burbs, like the Gaslight Grill, which is excellent, but I want a place downtown that's romantic for our anniversary. Can you recommend a place?
Well, what about the American?
Yeah. Been there. Okay. For dinner?
Emily, what would you suggest?
Well, if you like hotel restaurants, then I know that Chaz does, this is not really my taste, but they do packages. So they'll do, they can have rose petals on the table for you. And
I thought you were
going to
say rose petals on the bed. Okay.
After 37 years, we need rose petals.
trying to think of a place with an intimate little
Well, it doesn't
table.
Have to be a hotel. Is that right?
No. I like, I live in the burbs. I love going downtown.
You know, the Hotel Eldridge. In
Lawrence. Yeah, that's a lovely
dining room. It's a really neat place.
And you know what else I really like is the R Bar, because they have those tall booths. I like their small plates. I'm more, and I think they're changing up their menu a lot. But
it's for sale right now, so it may change completely.
But if you want seclusion, I find seclusion to be romantic. They have those tall booths.
I like ambiance.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of intimacy, I would say Chaz on the Plaza is a very intimate restaurant. I would say, even the Savoy.
We went there years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Janice. We're getting right up to the top of the hour. Do we have time for one very quick? Since we were talking about the Savoy, let's quickly take Kelly in Kansas City.
Hi, Charles. It's Kelly Austin.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm glad you took my call because I want to just reiterate that Savoy Grill is a really romantic place to eat. I take my husband there every year for his birthday, and you call ahead and reserve one of their booths with the really high backs. It's very private. There's nothing better than lobster for two with the red and white checkered aprons wrapped around you and tableside Caesar salad.
Oh, yeah. Got it. I'm ready to go right now. Kelly, that was a great way to end this conversation.
Yeah.
And don't forget the champagne.
All right. And that was the beautiful Kelly Austin. We do have an email from Lori. The Eldridge Hotel in Lawrence is wonderful. The menu is varied, brunch, lunch, and dinner, with entrees ranging from steaks to vegetarian.
Good.
What a great show. I want to thank Emily Ferris and Gloria Gale. Okay. I want to remind you, you can subscribe to the Walpo Dean Show podcast and find archives of our past shows by visiting kcur.org and clicking on Walpo Dean Show. The show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Our announcer is Kim Noble. And thank you to Gloria Gale and Emily Ferris. I'm Charles Ferruzza. This is the Walpo Dean Show. We will see you next week.
Thank you.